Good morning. We will sing Softly and Tenderly, number 479, or the verses will be on the screen as well. We'll sing the first and the last verse of that. So if you would stand, please, and join us. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you have made, that we gather here in this sanctuary in your presence to celebrate the life of Dennis Hondel. The years you've given him on this earth, we are so thankful for how you lived through him in so many ways. And Father, we are here to celebrate his life. We thank you as we've just sung those words, come home, and Lord, we thank you that you have made the way for us to come home to heaven. As your word says, when you declared you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. And so we come. Thank you for the comfort of your Spirit to all here. We thank you for your goodness and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And a good morning and welcome to all that have come from near and far, to those maybe who are viewing via live stream. We welcome you also and glad that you can be a part of the service in that way. So we are here to celebrate the life of Dennis Hondel for the 77 and a half years that God gave him on this earth. Many of you have known Dennis all of his life. Some of the cousins, of course, who are older than him. Most of you have known him for much of his life, and what a blessing that is. For myself, I didn't have that privilege. But as I was talking to some of the family this last week and trying to recall in my mind when I had met and visited with Dennis, and I know the one time for sure would have been at Luella Nusshandel's service. And when Judy had said, oh, remember he was a part of the Gideons, I said, of course. I remember talking with him in the social hall that day after the service about that very thing. And I'm thankful for that. The parable Jesus told in Mark chapter 4 is the parable of the sower. And of course, we know that is the sower sows the word, which is all about what the Gideons do in that ministry. And I'll share more of that during the message. So I'd like to read the obituary at this time. On July 14th of 2021, Dennis Aaron Hondel, age 77, went home to be with our Lord at his home in Aurora, Colorado, after a strong battle with Alzheimer's disease. Dennis was born on December 17, 1943, in Yankton, South Dakota, to Aaron and Luella Gall Hondel. His formative years were spent on the Hondel family farm with his parents and paternal grandparents, Jacob and Pauline Hondel. Dennis attended grammar school in a one-room country schoolhouse. After graduation from Menno High School, he attended the University of South Dakota, where he achieved a Bachelor of Arts degree in business. With his business degree in hand, Dennis moved to Cleveland, Ohio. There he began his career with the Postal Finance Company. While with the company, he transferred to Hammond, Indiana, and then to Lansing, Illinois. While working in Illinois, he met his future wife, Ronnie, at a dance in Chicago. Dennis and Ronnie were married in Chicago, Illinois, on July 29th of 1972. In the spring of 1974, Dennis was transferred to Jeffersonville, Indiana. It was in Jeffersonville where Dennis and Ronnie began their family. Two children followed with the births of their daughters, Heidi Elizabeth in 1976 and Caroline Ann in 1978. The family moved from Jeffersonville, Indiana to Aurora, Colorado in July of 1981. Dennis retired from the financial world in 2010. After his retirement, he enjoyed his love of fishing with his grandchildren, Luke and Kenley, especially their fishing time at Menno Lake, when they would return to Dennis's hometown. Dennis had a passion for vintage cars that was evident by his model car collection. Along with his model cars, he enjoyed driving his 1954 Chevrolet Bel Air. I'd like to see that. And his Chevrolet Corvette. He was a devoted member of the Gideons organization for 20 years, in which he was elected chapter president, and that for a time, not the entire time, but for a time. He loved to hand out Bibles to youth and various organizations during his time with the Gideons. Dennis was a devoted Christian, in which he held leadership positions at the First Presbyterian Church in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and the New Hope Community Church in Aurora, Colorado. Survivors include Dennis's wife of 49 years, Ronnie, his daughter Heidi Hondel Griff, and son-in-law Stephen Griff of Kemmer, Wyoming. And it is Kemmer, just so you know. Not Kemmerer. His daughter Caroline Hondel Forbes, and son-in-law Eugene Forbes of Aurora, Colorado, and his two grandchildren, Luke Forbes, age 13, and Kenley Forbes, age 9. Dennis was preceded in death by his parents, Aaron and Luella Gall Hondel. May God bless his memory in our hearts and minds. This time, we're going to have Heidi is going to come, please, and share some thoughts of her father and Luke and Kenley, and you can all just come up together, actually, those that are going to share. But Heidi will start us off. about to step up there and hold the microphone close.
Okay, thank you.
And that's that when you need it.
What verses am I saying?
What?
Good morning. My name is Heidi Hondel Griff, and on behalf of my mom, my sister, and our families, we thank you so much for joining us today as we mourn and pay tribute to the man Caroline and I called Dad, the husband, my mom called husband, sorry, that was, okay, and his grandchildren who called him Papa. Dennis Aaron Hondel was born on December 17, 1943, to Aaron and Luella Hondel in Yankton, South Dakota. This date was always significant because it was also the day our grandmother was born. It makes me smile thinking of my dad's winter birth. Sorry. Since a young age, our family was always told on many occasions how difficult it was to feed the animals on the farm during blizzards. As some of you may remember, a rope was tied, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me later, from the main house to the barn. As my dad would tell it, he was unable to see, so the rope would guide him. Growing up, Dad was always there to clean off our cars before work and school and made sure we had a full tank of gas before driving in the snow. He was a big fan of snowstorms, even though we hated them growing up in Colorado. Our father loved South Dakota and was proud of his home state. The majority of his younger years were spent living with my grandparents and my great-grandparents on Jacob Hondel's farm. There were many wonderful memories that our father would never tire of telling. Fishing, his greatest love, began as a boy when at 10 years old he would fish in the Jim River. This tradition continued when he would teach my niece and nephew, Luke and Kenley, to fish. His favorite times were always coming to Menno and showing Luke and Kenley the Jim River, as well as the times in Colorado. Denny, as he was known to his cousins, was a typical boy who always got into mischief. On one occasion, at around 6 years of age, our dad thought it would be fun to throw fresh-laid eggs against his grandfather's hen house. Let's just say that poor little boy's bottom must have been very sore because of our great-grandfather did catch him in the act. One of my family's favorite stories was how our father almost flunked his first year of school because he only spoke German. We kind of made fun of him for that for a long period of time. There are far too many memories from my father's childhood to mention at this time. His love of South Dakota was passed on to our mother and the next generation, his daughters and son-in-laws, but most importantly, my dad loved to show his grandchildren what a special place South Dakota is. There were many things our dad took pride in, and one of them was education. After graduation from Menno High School, my father was accepted to the University of South Dakota, where, as you know, he majored in business. He was the first person in his immediate family to go to college and continued and worked construction throughout his 4 years to pay for his schooling because my grandparents weren't able to afford it. It was always well known in our household that my sister and I were going to college. Although, as Caroline tells it, I wanted to go to bartending school, and my dad and I got in a big argument about that, but I went on to graduate. He worked tirelessly to provide for my mom and us. Because of this, he and my mom were able to afford to put Caroline and I through 4 years of college at the University of Colorado. Northern Colorado, excuse me. My sister and I would continue our educations with a master's degree and additional bachelor's degrees. However, I feel our graduation was one of the proudest moments, besides his grandchildren's births, of his life. Dennis was not the demonstrative type, but showed his love in other ways. A classic example of this was when my mom was in the delivery room right before my birth in September of 1976. The physician approached my dad and asked if he would like to be in the delivery room, to which my father replied, "I'm good. I've seen enough cattle be born." Yeah. It was funny. It was funny. That was just my dad. That was him. His sense of humor and dry wit were one of the ways he would show his affection, taking care of his family and never having us want for anything. Even if times were tough, Caroline and I never felt and have wonderful childhood memories because of it. How does a family that is grieving say goodbye to a man like our father? One word, faith. Our father's relationship with our Lord Jesus was without a doubt one of the most important in his life. He would never miss church except one Sunday a year when we would stay home to watch the Indianapolis 500 so he could cheer on his favorite driver, A.J. Foyt, to see if he would win the checkered flag. Dad's strong faith was passed on to us. We would never eat until prayer had been said. Throughout his career in finance, my dad was laid off a few times, and other companies would buy out the company he was laid off from. But he never worried. I remember worrying, and he never did. He always just said his unwavering faith in that God will always provide, in which he did. Becoming a Gideon was also another proud spiritual moment within my dad's spiritual life. Although he always held a leadership position in the church, being a member of this organization helped him spread the word of God to those that may not have known our Savior. He, in closing, it's hard to say. I know that he's now at peace, and as he would tell me and my sister, have faith. I'm with Jesus. I'm with your family now. And as he would always tell us, it'll be okay. Thank you. God bless you all. Okay, now I'm going to, Ken, so you want to read? Okay, I'll hold the mic. This is my niece, Dennis's granddaughter, Kenley Forbes, who's 9.
Hi, my name is Kenley Forbes. I'm Dennis Hundle's granddaughter. My grandpa's a funny, smart, and kind person. Every time I got home from my preschool, my grandpa teased me about a girl who was one of my friends when I was 3 years old. And my grandpa, being the funny person he was, teased me by saying, "Was Baby Emma there?" Followed by, "Did you have good eats today?" My grandpa would say the boogeyman is coming and that he lived in the shed in the backyard. He would always tell me that the boogeyman was out there and started laughing hysterically. Moving on, my grandpa was so kind to humans and animals. Every day when my grandparents had lunch and had leftover fruit or vegetables, my grandpa would go put it in a bowl and place on top of the shed. Then their squirrel named Chi-Chi would come and eat the food, as would the birds and raccoons. My grandpa was also nice to humans. He would show his kindness through his work, the Gideons, by passing out Bibles to those who needed him. Also, my grandpa would take me and my brother to South Dakota and showed us around, took us to the 4th of July parade, taught us how to fish on Minnow Lake. In conclusion, my grandpa was a smart person with his money, his cars, and his schools, and what was truly him. I will always cherish my memories with my papa. I love him, and I will miss him.
This is my nephew, Dennis's grandson, Luke, who is 13 years old.
I love my grandpa dearly. His passing has not been easy on me and my family, but we must never forget that he is gone from our sight, but never from our hearts. My papa was a very great person in my life. He let myself and my family live at his house for a couple of months while ours was being built. He took me fishing all up until he got sick. He was a Gideon and helped inspire me to be a great person. What I'm trying to say is that he was an amazing person on earth, but now his soul is as great in heaven. For the past couple of months, I have been involved in the Civil Air Patrol nonprofit organization. Even though my papa is not able to say he was proud of me, I could see it in his eyes. And now he can watch me take my journey through life until we are reunited again on the Rainbow Bridge. My papa is now in his eternal home, surrounded by his parents and his family generations before him. And I would like to end this with this. Lives are like rivers. Eventually, they must go where they must.
And now I am going to read from Scripture, John 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going.
Hi, I'm Gene Forbes. Gotta hold it close. I'm Gene Forbes. I am the son-in-law of Dennis, and we are going to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you to the family for your thoughts and the scripture readings. We're going to sing the first and last verse of How Great Thou Art. You can remain seated. Page 147, or the words will be on the screen. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 9 through 12. This is one of the main scripture texts of the Gideons. It says this, as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Amen. We're going to sing one more hymn, number 684. 684, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Let's bow in prayer once more, please. Father, we thank you that you are our refuge and our strength, Lord, that you are a very present help in times of trouble, that you walk with us through all the challenges of life, for you live in us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I thank you for your word that comforts us and strengthens us in these times as well as through all our years. And I ask, Lord, that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to these gathered here this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, certainly a favorite of many, many people over the ages, and it is a beautiful psalm that we are able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," as the King James says it. In other words, I don't have any wants. As a boy growing up learning it, King James, it took me a lot of years to figure that first phrase out, because I always thought it, "The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want him." Well, I knew that wasn't right, but anyway. An incredible verse of scripture, and Jesus is our good shepherd, and he tells us that two times in the Gospel of John in the 10th verse. And in that same 10th chapter of John, he also says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that is exactly what he did at the cross, so that we can come to days like this and knowing that it's just a stepping over. As Dennis took his last breath that day, it's just a stepping over into heaven. And so Jesus, as our good shepherd, he orders and directs and leads and guides us through this life one step at a time, one day at a time, as the song says. Did Dennis know, and we know the answer to this question is obviously no, what I'm going to ask, did Dennis know on June 28th of 1958, and you might say, what is that day? That is the day where he was confirmed. He was confirming his faith in Jesus Christ. Would have been in the old church, as this one was not built at that time. standing there before his family and the congregation, professing his faith in Jesus Christ, confirmed by Reverend Kempkin, as some of you here also were, I would imagine. Only 14 years old, how could he know? We have a 13-year-old here. How could Luke know where life is going to take him? Or any of us, for that matter, even to what tomorrow will bring. But it is, and it was, a solid foundation of faith built in his life. A beautiful foundation of faith. And God would use that to lead and guide and direct him through high school, through college, as was said. And then if you listened to the different places, Ohio and Indiana and Illinois, where he met Ronnie, back to Indiana, eventually to Aurora, Colorado, where they would live their lives out up to this point. But as we think of that psalm, it goes through Psalm 23, the challenges and the blessings of life. He leads us beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's refreshing that comes to us from the Spirit of God and from his word. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There was a grandma from this church who's in heaven now that I had asked her about when she was a girl and that her family had sheep growing up. And she said to me, you know those sheep? They were always exactly right where they were not supposed to be. And guess who we are compared to? Sheep. We are his sheep, the people of his pasture. And he tries to lead us in the paths of righteousness. And sometimes we get off that path because none of us are perfect. And that is why we need Jesus. He leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And finally then, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, where Dennis is now. I like the quote, and Heidi had emailed me this, and she referred to it there in her sharing of his love, Dennis's love for his Lord and his Savior, serving as a deacon and an elder in his local church, and later giving 20 years to the Gideons, a beautiful ministry, a life of faith. Perfect? No. Forgiven? Yes. Washed in the blood of Jesus? Yes. Amen. And so this part, Isaiah 55, verse 9, God says, it's God speaking, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, he is God and we are not. We think we have things all figured out. We like to have things all figured out, but very often they change. But when we surrender our lives to Christ, when we commit to living for him, whether that's young, whether it's middle-aged, wherever that happens, he takes control. As I said at the start of the service, thinking back to when Luella Nusshandel passed, and we had her funeral here 5 years ago. And as I shared, I had that chance to visit with Dennis that day. Who would have known on that day what lied ahead? Just 5 years later. Who would have known that the dementia would have set in at a certain point, moving quickly into Alzheimer's, that all moved so fast and to the point of his passing just a week ago? We don't know. But we know who holds tomorrow. We know who holds the future. And so we live for him and serve him as we are able, as our health allows. We can't just say, oh, when I get old, I'll do this for the Lord and that for the Lord, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And it's interesting in this passage in Isaiah that God compares the natural elements of his creation, the rain and the snow, compares those things to the working of his word in our lives on this earth. So growing up on the farm, certainly Dennis could relate to that very well. He knew the importance of moisture, the rain, the snow, as we are praying for that right now through this season that we are in. Things just don't work without it. Back to that verse 10, God said, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it, to heaven, without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. An easy transition for a farmer to understand that principle and God's principle of his word working in the very same way. The sower sows the word. So some, as with the Gideons, some are going to receive and some are not. And so in that parable of the sower, Jesus said there's these different types of soil. Sometimes you're going to sow seed naturally and it goes spiritually too. Sometimes it's going to be on the path where that ground is so hard, packed down. You're not going to see much fruit. Sometimes it's going to be, you're going to sow it among the thorns and the thistles and it's going to sprout up, but the cares of this world are going to choke it out. Sometimes it's going to fall on the rocky ground and it will sprout up, but it has no root and it withers. But sometimes it will be sown on the good soil, the fertile soil, and it will produce a harvest 30, 60, even 100-fold. And he says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And so I know there's much more to Dennis's life than just the Gideons, but that's the part I'm going to focus on here today. Some of the family has shared to me that he did enjoy his beer, which is fine. And I don't know if he liked that the beer barrel polka or whatever. In heaven there is no beer, however that goes. If that was one of his favorites, I didn't ask that. But he was obviously very dedicated to the ministry of the Gideons. And I had to look, I'm familiar with it, but I just looked up a couple things. Founded in 1899, and this, it says, as of recent, they have distributed more than 2 billion Bibles and or New Testaments. More than 2 billion. I asked one of the girls, well, so I'm just curious, how did Dennis get involved in the Gideons? And I think it was Heidi I was talking to. Shared that there was a time out there in Colorado that the Gideons approached Dennis's pastor and asked, would you have any men in your church that you would maybe recommend to be a Gideon? And I don't know how many the minister recommended, but one of those men was Dennis Hondel. And he accepted. And I said to Heidi, I said, that is how they work, because it was several years back here. I had the very same question that came, and we have some Gideons in our church too. But how beautiful. And as I think about that, and we think about heaven, certainly meeting Jesus face to face, number one, seeing our loved ones who've gone on before, a great blessing. And then I think about this, and this is just in my own imagination, okay? Very likely, someone could have come to Dennis in this short time that he has been in heaven and maybe said, you know what? You were that man when I was in high school that was at my school handing out those New Testaments, and you showed me, got one right here, in the back, that prayer that says how to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want you to know I did that. And it was just 2 years later, I lost my life in a car accident. And I am here in heaven thanks to you and the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Very well could be. Could be just one other thought. Could be somebody coming up to him in heaven and saying, you know what? The Lord told me you were the man that placed that Bible in that motel room that I stayed in on such and such a night when I was so depressed and was ready to end my life, and I found that Bible in that drawer and I took it out and read it, and God spoke to me that night, and I received him as my Lord and Savior. I mean, those examples are could go on and on. You say, well, how do you think that could happen? Well, do you have scripture? Well, not directly. I could go to Hebrews chapter 12 where it speaks of this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and which goes back to chapter 11, all those heroes of faith, and then and who've ever lived, we, as we live our lives of faith, we are surrounded by those great cloud of witnesses who've gone on to heaven ahead of us. And he says, so let's throw off these things that hinder, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So there is the great cloud of witnesses. Will we know people in heaven? Yeah. Yes. So that to me is just pretty cool to think about. Because a lot of the work of the Gideons is just sort of quiet. Most of the time you don't see the fruit. Sometimes you do on this earth, but most of the time not, until you get to heaven. So I thank God for his faithfulness in serving there. And I want to close just touching on this passage from John 14 that Heidi read. Let not your heart be troubled. We know that well. You believe in God. Jesus was saying this the night before the cross, comforting his disciples, getting them ready for his departure. In my Father's house, I like the King James, it says, are many mansions. Others say, are many rooms. Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I come, I will come again to receive you to myself, which has happened for Dennis. That where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas answers, we didn't read that far in the passage, but Thomas says, well, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? What was his answer? Right here, John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that was the message that Dennis would have proclaimed through all those years serving with the Gideons, and it is true today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses of Scripture and so many others. Thank you, Lord, as you only know the lives that were truly touched through Dennis, certainly his family and friends as we're gathered here today, yes. But beyond that, through the giving of the testaments and the placing of the scriptures in hospitals and schools and hotels and motels and wherever else, prisons and far beyond, we thank you for that seed, Lord, for you said your word does not return to you empty or void, but it accomplishes that it was sent forth to do, and we believe it to be so. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd stand, please. We'll have the closing prayer, and from there I'll go into the Lord's Prayer. We're accustomed to using debts and debtors here. It's a lot of different words right in that spot, so just telling you. But let's bow our heads, please, again. And Heavenly Father, we do give you glory and honor for who you are. You're the giver of life. Lord Jesus, you are the conqueror of death. And we thank you, Jesus, that as we read earlier with the family where you said, you are the resurrection and the life. You said that whoever believes in you, though he may die physically, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in you will never die. And we thank you, Father, that Dennis is very much alive with you in heaven. And so we do entrust, Lord, the life of Dennis Handel to your eternal care. We praise you, Father, for your steadfast love for him all the days of his earthly life. We thank you, Lord, for all that he was and still is to us who loved him so very much. Thank you for the memories he left us with, memories of his faith, memories of the funny things that he shared, and his wit and his humor. We thank you. And Father, finally, we thank you that for Dennis, death itself is now past, that he has entered heaven to spend eternity with you. Thank you for the comfort that gives to us in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll please receive the benediction. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, so that you may do God's will, working in you with that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We will sing our closing hymn, number 779, I'll Fly Away. Our committal service will be here at the Menno Cemetery. You're welcome to join us out there if you would like. 779. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to your humble on God's blessed shore. I'll fly away. Oh,